اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الدنيا حرام على أهل الآخرة، والآخرة حرام على أهل الدنيا، وهما حرامان على أهل الله. وقال الإمام الباقر عليه الصلاة والسلام: هل الدين إلا الحب؟ صلوات. This series of majalis of Arba'een inshallah will be on the subject of Islam, the religion of love, and I'll try to shed some light on the beautiful and the fundamental concept of hub and love in Islam, and also about some of the benefits of this concept, inshallah, and some of the prerequisites or necessary requirements for us to fulfill if we are truly and really following the concept of love in Islam. Love is considered to be the foundation of the entire religion, because we find that our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says that لكل شيء أساس وأساس الإسلام حبنا أهل البيت. Everything has a foundation, and the foundation of Islam is the love of us Ahlul Bayt. So we find that this religion is the religion of love. This religion is the religion which stands for loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. in the real sense of the word, Hubbullah. And loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exactly and precisely equal to loving the Prophet and loving the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, because their love is equal in its value to the love of Allah, and Allah's love is equal in its value to the love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means nothing but loving the representatives of Allah, and in its value it's the same, I mean, and loving the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam equals to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not possible for a person to claim that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but still does not end up loving the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And similarly, vice versa, if somebody does not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and claims as a lip service that I am loving the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, this is not considered to be a true claim of love of Allah, because true claim of the love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, because the person does not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this has to be crystal clear in our minds, and it is important because, like I said from the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that it is the foundation. And I will inshallah elaborate in the upcoming majalis on this concept and some of its benefits inshallah. But tonight's majlis is the beginning of this series, and tonight I would like to talk about the concept of love and Ahlullah, which is one of the benefits of this concept of love. When we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we love the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, one of the benefits of this great asset of Islam is that we end up becoming Ahlullah, Allah wale, those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah wants from us. And in order to become Ahlullah, a person who is related and belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it requires from us to break away from this dunya. See, the hadith of the Prophet, which I recited in the beginning of my speech, where the Prophet says that ad-dunya haramun ala ahlil akhirah, dunya is haram on those who belong to akhirat. Wal akhiratu haramun ala ahlil dunya, and akhirat is haram on those who belong to dunya. So if you belong to this world, if you are attached with any material belonging of this dunya, then we must understand and remember that in that case, it's our choice to get attached to whatever. It's our choice to be affiliated and end up having a love affair with the material belongings of this world. But then the price we are going to pay for this deal is that akhirat will become haram on us. Nothing, absolutely nothing of akhirat can be awarded to us. And for those of the people who belong to akhirat, Prophet has said, "Ad-dunya haramun ala ahli al-akhirah." Dunya is haram on those who belong to akhirat. So if you belong to akhirat, then you will never have any attachment of this dunya. So dunya will be haram on you. And also the Prophet says, وَهُمَا حَرَامَانِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ, and dunya and akhirat both are haram on those who belong to Allah. So if we are Ahlullah, if we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then dunya and akhirat both are haram on us. Because We don't deserve to get none of those two. We deserve to get much more than those two, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And nothing can be compared to the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. It will be an insult for a mu'min who becomes Ahlullah, a person who belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you give him the reward of akhirat. Because this is not his reward. His reward is much more than that. His reward is nothing but Allah himself. So it has to be very clear in the minds of our youth and the elders that dunya is haram on everyone who belongs to akhirat, and akhirat is also haram on all those who belong to this dunya. And now the choice is ours. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own ways. When we stand for the sake of Allah and we want to be Ahlullah, those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always in his own ways helps out his people. He has his own ways of helping. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa, Allah provides opening for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah provides sustenance to him from where he doesn't think of. So, what is required is that we maintain our taqwa. We maintain our fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave the rest on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will take care of the rest. He never abandons his beloved people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never leaves Ahlul Taqwa, never leaves Ahlul Walayat, never leaves those who are Ahlullah alone. Allah is always with them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Isn't that right? That's the ayat that was recited by Amir al-Mumin al-Islam in the final moments of his life. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Allah is with the ones who have taqwa. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. And those who do good deeds. So as long as we are having taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And we have nothing to worry about if Allah is with us and we are Ahlullah. We have nothing to worry about. So we find Allah always helps in his own ways. He provides hujjat, just like he provided to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Tilka hujjatuna ataynaha Ibrahim. So look at the hujjat Allah provides to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we find when Prophet Ibrahim is encountering the tahut of his time, Namrud, la'anatullahi alayh. And this guy, Prophet said to him, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. See, money makes us arrogant. Money always makes us mutakabbir and arrogant, unless and until you have tazkiyatun nafs. So we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to give us the money. Unless and until you first give us the taharat of the qalb. If we don't have the taharat of the qalb, the more money we make, the bigger problem we are inviting towards our spirituality, and we are damaging our spirituality, and we are basically heading towards where the money is going to go. This is the miras al-fara'ina. Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, Al-ilmu miras al-anbiya. Ilm is the miras and inheritance of the prophets. And mal al-malu miras al-fara'ina. That's the mazmoon riwayah. That money and wealth is the miras and inheritance of the pharaohs. Pharaohs of the history. That's their inheritance. That's what they left behind. There's nothing to do with the divine noor of knowledge. So we find that Namrud was the tahut of that time. And Prophet Ibrahim said to him, then my Lord is the one who gives life and gives death. Yuhyi wa yumeet. He also said, well, that's not a big deal. I can do the same. In other words, he brought two people from the prison. One was sentenced to death. And he commanded that this guy need to be released. And the other one didn't have any charge on him. So he said that he should be sentenced to death. So he said, I'm also killing a person and I'm also giving life to a person. But he did not realize the meaning of hayat. The meaning of hayat is not that you set free a person. The meaning of hayat is to create. To create from non-existence, from Adam, and bring into existence. Bringing somebody from Adam to wujud is called hayat, which is something specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one can bring anything or anyone into existence from non-existence. And Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, in order for the people not to get deviated, well, people are simple-minded, isn't that right? They, as soon as they listen to some kinds of deviations, you will always find some people following different kinds of theories. Even those who worship Satan, they also end up having some followers, isn't that right? Satanists also have some followers. Every kind of theory has some followers available. This is the unfortunate behavior of the mentality and the basirat, lack of basirat of the people. That's why we have been focusing so much in our speeches, especially to our muhtaram and respectable mu'mineen, to please have basirat and insight in your affairs of the religion. And don't end up believing or practicing the policies of Islam without the proper basirat and insight. Because if you don't have the basirat, there is no guarantee that you can stick to the path of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Only those people who have the basirat and ma'rifat of the religion, the in-depth understandings of the religion, are the only ones who can stick to the path of the walayat and imamat of Ahlul Bayt. Don't you find the khawarij in the history? You know, one of my teachers of the Hausa used to say that it is compulsory on every Shia to learn the history of Khawarij. The Khawarij people were the Shias, isn't that right? Initially, they were supporters of Imam Ali alayhi salam. They were alongside Imam Ali alayhi salam. They were fighting a battle along with Imam Ali against Muawiyah in the Battle of Siffin. So they were followers of Imam Ali. But look at how they can end up with that. Now they used to call, after the Qadiyatul Hakamain, after the incident which was the plot of Amr ibn As, the advisor of Muawiyah, how he plays with the minds of the stupid and simple-minded people, and he played by raising Quran over the spearheads, and then saying that when he found that the Muawiyah is now losing the battle, so he made this plot, Amr ibn As, to raise the Quran on the spears, in order to fool the masses. And it worked. It worked very well for them. There were a whole bunch of Khawarij who got fooled with this plot. And then they started to pressurize Imam Ali alayhi salam to stop the battle. Because see, we cannot fight against Quran. By forgetting the basic thing, that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the living Quran himself. He is the Quran in Natiq. And Muawiyah, who is fighting the battle, has nothing to do with Quran. And every action of his life is against the Quran. But his advisor just raises the book, physical book, Quran, over the spear, and you get fooled. And that's how so many people are. That's how so many people are. So it is very important for a Shia to learn the history of Khawarij. Because these same people who were supporting Imam Ali alayhi salam after this incident, which we call Qadiyatul Hakamain in the history, we find the after the incident of Hakamain, these people ended up calling Imam Ali to be a kafir. Can you imagine? A Shia can reach that far that he calls Imam Ali to be a kafir. Did they stop praying? Did they stop fasting? Did they stop going for Hajj? Did they stop doing hijab? No! Actually, they were doing namaz-e-shab. All of the Khawarij, almost all of them, used to pray namaz-e-shab. When Imam Ali alayhi salam sends Abdullah ibn Abbas before the beginning of the Battle of Nahrawan that took place against the Khawarij, Imam Ali sent Abdullah ibn Abbas to advise. Because in Islam, we don't want to shed the blood. Islam is a religion of peace and justice and integrity. We are not here to shed the blood or do violence or aggression. Islam does not teach violence. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always used to advise before starting of the battle. Maybe someone gets the advice and get guided, the hidayat. That's the real purpose of battle in Islam, is hidayat and guidance, to guide the humanity. So we find when he sent Abdullah ibn Abbas to advise these people, Abdullah ibn Abbas came back and he said to Imam Ali al-Islam, Imam Ali said to him, don't advise them with Quran. La tukhasimhum bil Quran. That means don't debate with them through Quran. So another beautiful point that Imam Ali al-Islam is teaching us as we are discussing the insight and basirat into the religion, so we can strive to become Ahlullah, those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can never be misled by any media, we can never be misled by any propagation, we can never be misled by any tahoot, we cannot be misled by any religion, any false and fake religion, fabricated theories around us. And there are so many, and they are on the rise, unfortunately. So Imam Ali al-Salam says to Abdullah ibn Abbas, La tukhasimhum bil Quran. Don't debate with them through Quran. Why? What's the reason? He mentions the reason himself. Yeah, you find so many people aaj bhi hame milte hain log kehte nahi maana aap hadith na bataiye hame sirf quran bataiye hame to sirf quran se sunna hai maine kaha kyun why do you want to listen from quran only this are you one of the followers of the one who said hasbuna kitabullah ke aap bhi unhi ke manne wale jinhone kaha tha hasbuna kitabullah kaisi aapne baat kar di zabite ke khilaf baat kar rahe hain aap tamam deen ke usoolon ke khilaf baat kar rahe hain aap How silly some people are and how easy they fall into the trap of shaitan. Don't talk us from the hadith, just tell from the Quran. I said to a person that the entire Quran is actually the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Jibreel did not arrive on my soul, nor did Jibreel arrive on your soul. Isn't that right? So the archangel Jibreel arrived on the soul of Rasulullah. And he's the one through this same tongue of his, this muqaddas tongue of Rasulullah, through his tongue he informed us that this is the verse that belongs to Quran. If the same tongue of Rasulullah does not have an authenticity and i'tibar in your eyes, so that's why you're not accepting hadith. Because you don't consider the tongue of Rasulullah to be mu'tabar and authentic. If that's why you are challenging the hadith, because the lisan and tongue of Rasulullah is not authentic in your eyes, then the whole Quran is unauthentic in your eyes, because the whole Quran reached the hands of the Islamic Ummah through the tongue of Rasulullah, the same tongue. Isn't that right? Because Jibreel did not come on me and you to bring the verse. How silly some people are. So look at the wisdom and hikmat of Imam Ali al-Salam. He says to Abdullah ibn Abbas, La tukhasimhum bil Quran. So we love for the mu'mineen to have become basirat, ahle ma'rifat. Siyasi basirat apne andar paida karni hai, taakhe imam zamana ka saath de sakein. Taakhe unke muntazir ban sakein. It's an incumbent on every mu'min in the time of ghaibat to have the political insight and ma'rifat of the religion so that we can be the true, among the true awaiters of Imam Waliul Asr alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa'ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions the dalil, why he is stopping Abdullah ibn Abbas to debate with them through Quran. Imam says, فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ حَمَّالٌ ذُو وُجُوهٌ. Because Quran has several ihtimalat. حَمَّالٌ. It has several ihtimalat and probabilities. ذُو وُجُوهٌ. You know, you can interpret it in multiple ways. That's how the Quran is. It has several probabilities and several possibilities coming out of it. In other words, تَقُولُ وَيَقُولُونَ. You say and they say. Isn't that right? That's the way Quran is. Quran is a book which is very deep. It has several probabilities which are possible from every ayat possibly. And you can find anybody can come and misinterpret the verses of Quran to fit his personal agenda. Isn't that right? That's how so many sects of Islam are doing. They are misinterpreting, spinning and twisting the verses of Quran to justify what they are trying to do. From the Holy Quran, misusing the ayat of Quran for their personal agendas. That's what Imam Ali has openly said, that don't debate with them through Quran.
And then he said, Balhajijhum bisunnah. That means debate with them through the sunnah of Rasulullah, the hadith of the Holy Prophet. In other words, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَحِيصًا. Because they are never going to find a way of escape.
As soon as you mention the hadith of Rasulullah, there will be zero escape for a person to try to run away with what he's doing with his agendas.
And that's exactly why some of those who are crooked try to avoid the hadith and try to focus on Quran exactly for the same purpose, because they want to avoid the decision and the mawqif and the policy of Rasulullah and the mawqif of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam, because that does not fit into their political agendas. That's why they are trying to avoid the hadith, because hadith is crystal clear. It removes any possible ambiguity, and when it becomes crystal clear, it doesn't leave a room for you to make your own policy for life.
This is why people are avoiding the hadith. Nini maulana hame hadith nahi suniye, main sirf Quran se batayega. Quran mein kahan likha hai ki namaz do fajr do rakat padhiye? Kahin likha hai pura Quran mein? Pura alam Islam do rakat padta hai.
Your entire Islamic ummah says the fajr prayers as two rakat is never written in the Holy Quran. Isn't that right? If you turn to the Holy Quran, you cannot do the wudu, because the Holy Quran does not mention so many of the ahkam of wudu. Are you supposed to put the water from the end of the tip of the fingers towards the elbow like this? Or you have to pour water from the elbow towards the, to fingers? Are you supposed to include the hand as well? Or you're not supposed to include the hand, you have to just have to wash up till the wrists?
Is that mentioned in the Quran? Are you supposed to do the masa from the front part of the head backwards, or from the back part of the head frontwards? Not mentioned in Quran. Quran says, famsahu, do the masa. How? It's not mentioned. Are you supposed to do masa with three fingers joined, or with one finger is enough? Not mentioned in Quran. There are so many things which are mentioned. Seven rotations of Khana Kaaba is not mentioned in Quran. The dog is najis is not mentioned in Quran. Isn't it right? Maghrib is three rakats of prayers. It's not mentioned in Quran.
Just take that silly idea out of your mind. It is not supposed to be mentioned in the Quran, because Quran is a book of kulliyat, and it is not supposed to mention the juz'iyat at all to begin with. So it has to be, these are the things that we are trying to to make it clear in the minds that our mu'min brothers and sisters must be clear about the basic Islamic principles, that we learn the entire religion not from one source, which is Quran, but from two sources that have been left behind by Rasulullah upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, and Sahih Muslim is clear in this hadith, inni tarikun, according to Sahih Muslim, inni tarikun fikum al-thaqalain kitab Allah wa itrati. Prophet did not mention in the hadith of Saqalain kitab Allah was sunnati, and the word sunnati was added by mullahs later on, and Sahih Muslim does not mention the word sunnati.
So we must be clear that Prophet is leaving behind two things, not one. It's not just the Holy Quran, it's Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and Quran is insufficient without the Ahlul Bayt.
There's no way you can understand religion and you can practice the religion Islam in its totality without you turning towards the Ahlul Bayt. And that's what somebody came and said to Imam Baqir alayhi salam, why didn't Allah mention everything clearly in the Quran so there will be no difference and conflict between the communities? And Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, so that you guys turn to us.
اسی طریقے سے تو اہل بیت کی طرف رجوع کریں گے. اگر ہر بات قرآن میں کھل کے بیان کر دی جاتی تو لوگ اہل بیت کی طرف رجوع ہی کیوں کرتے؟
تو اللہ تو چاہتا ہے کہ آپ قرآن سے سمجھنے کے بجائے, ساری کی ساری باتیں قرآن سے ڈائریکٹلی سمجھنے کے بجائے آپ اہل بیت سے رجوع کریں. اللہ چاہتا ہی یہ ہے, تو کیوں بیان کرے وہ قرآن میں سارا کچھ؟ اللہ نے تو دانستہ سارا کچھ بیان نہیں کیا, ہر باریکی بیان نہیں کی. قرآن میں سارے حقائق علم ہے, یقیناً ہے سارے حقائق علم, مگر کلیات ہیں, سارے کے سارے جزیات اس میں ہونی چاہیے بھی نہیں. سو میں آپ سے قرض کر رہا تھا کہ اللہ, امام علی علیہ السلام had said to عبداللہ بن عباس, حاججہم بالسنہ, So this is a matter of basirat. Now we have to turn to the sunnah of Rasulullah. We have to turn to the hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt to make the concepts, the principles, the ahkam, the rulings and the policies of life clear through the sunnah, you know, of Ahlul Bayt, which informs us in detail and pinpointing the exact issue precisely. So there's no room for anybody to exercise his personal agendas. Now, there are a lot of people who exercise their personal agendas in the name of Islam. That's why I always say in my speeches, when you come to the Islamic center, please leave your opinions at home. We don't come to any center or masjid or Husainiyah or Imam Bargah for worshipping anybody's opinions. We come here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the opinion of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, according to the hukum of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So ye nahi ke fana sahab rais hain, sarvatmand hain, fana sahab influential hain, fana sahab loud mouth hain, to wo aake apni awaaz buland karke apna opinion nafis karwa de meeting mein baith ke. Ye opinion worshipping ka center is not a cultural community club. Center is the place of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not here to worship anybody's opinions. Keep your opinions at home before coming to the center. We are not here to cater anybody's opinions. To begin with, that has to be clear. Why in the world do we come to a center, Imam Bargah? Why are we coming here? We are here to worship Allah. Isn't that right? We are here to listen what Allah has said and implement. We are here to listen what Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have said and implement. That's why we are here. We are here what somebody's take is. You know, it's true, Maulana. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam ne to ye farmaya. Magar meri rai ye hai. Aapki kya haisiyat Imam Sadiq alayhi salam ke hukum ke saamne hai? Whenever you find public personal opinions kicking in the presence of the pre-existing, in the presence of the pre-existing ahkam from Allah, you find personal opinions coming in, that's the sign that this person is not ready and not serious to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this place is not a place of worship of God. This is not a place where we serve the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. No way. Because you cannot serve Allah with your hawa nafs, khahishat-e nafsani. Afarra'aita, Quran says, afarra'aita man ittakhadha ilahahu hawahu. Have you seen the person who has taken his personal wish as his Lord? As soon as you bring your personal opinion in the middle, you are worshipping that opinion as a Lord in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's an idol. So we are not here to worship idols and nobody's opinions. We are here to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said. That's why I say in my speeches that in the Isna Ashari Islam, we don't make decisions. We don't make decisions in our life. Our decisions of life have already been made by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We are here to learn what decisions they have already made for our life, and we learn and we implement those decisions. We are not here to make our own decisions for any political matter of Islam, any social matter of Islam, any financial obligation of Islam, any family matter of Islam, any personal matter of Islam. There is a pre-existing hukum from Allah for all those arenas of human life. We are here to learn what Allah has already said, the decisions from Allah, and implement. That's why we are here. So we are not here to make our decisions in the presence of Allah's decisions. Salawat. So what I was saying to you is that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, in order to make the things clear in front of the people, people are silly minded. They are easy to buy, you know, different types of theories and ideas, and they get derailed. That's why we always say to the communities, make sure your kids learn the aqaid of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam with Dalil as soon as they reach the age of Islamic bulugh and maturity. My daughter and my son must know what are the concrete, unshakable, logical or narrated evidences why we believe in the 12 Imams. Why we believe in 124,000 prophets of God? Why we believe in the adl and justice of Allah? And why we believe in the tawheed and so forth? My child must have those evidences, because when our children are walking in the school, in the colleges, in the universities, are out there on the streets, if somebody asks you, why do you believe in 124,000 prophets, you must be able to furnish an evidence. And you should not say, because I am born to a Shia parent, the other guy is born to a Hindu parent, and the other guy is born to a Sikh parent. Isn't that right? Is that the answer? This is what we are supposed to do. So ye jo riwayati qisam ka tabqa hota hai na, jinhone daleelon se deen ko nahi samjha, sabse heavy price inhone pay ki hai west ke andar aane ke baad. Sabse heavy price is tabqe ne pesh ki hai, kyunki riwayati rasm o riwaj ke zariye se aap deen ko nahi bacha sakte. There is no value in the eyes of Allah for any rasm and riwaj and cultural traditions. What holds the value in the eyes of Allah is ibadat. And ibadat is an act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded through His Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And we do that act, qurbatan ilallah, in order to seek His nearness. So anything that you do in your life because you want to do it, regardless of the fact that Allah asks you or not, is not considered to be an ibadat. If I move my hand like this, and tomorrow on the day of judgment I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh my Lord, give me sawab on that. Can't Allah say to me, did I ask you to move the hand? Who asked you to move the hand? Isn't that right? So there is no sawab in Islam for what we induce into the religion. Sawab is what Allah has commanded. We are here to learn what Allah has commanded through His Ahlul Bayt and implement in our life. Their decisions are already made. The difference between an infidel, a kafir, and a mu'min is this, that a mu'min is the one who believes that the decisions of his life are already made by his creator. Whereas an infidel is the person who wants to violate what the creator has said in the name of freedom and decide the decisions of his life by turning away from the ahkam and commands of the creator. That's the difference between an infidel and a mu'min. So we are mu'mins, alhamdulillah, following the seerat of Ahlul Bayt. And we are proud of that. So we follow the decisions that Allah has made and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have commanded for us. And we are here to learn and implement. That's it. So we are not here to cater anybody's opinion. So we find that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was worried about the people, what the people may think. So you see what Prophet Ibrahim says, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Allah brings the sun from the east, so you bring it from the west. Sun rises from the east, isn't that right? Allah always brings the sun from the east. So if you are the Lord, in other words, why don't you try to bring the sun from the west? فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Quran says, the kafir became mabhut. Kafir was answerless. Kafir was shocked. He was in surprise. He didn't have any answer to furnish in front of the people. So his whole empire, which was resting on fabrications and fake and falsehood and batil, because of the stupidity of the masses who were buying his silly arguments and theories. See, as long people say, "Ye Maulana Iraq mein tabdili kab aayegi?" तो मैं उनसे जवाब में कहता हूं कि जब इराक के लोग चाहेंगे, जब आप चाहेंगे तब्दीली आ जाएगी. अगर आप जिल्लत की जिंदगी गुजारना चाहते हैं तो अल्लाह तो कभी किसी कौम की हालत नहीं बदलता जब तक कौम खुद ना हालत बदले. अल्लाह तो कभी भी नहीं बदलेगा, इसलिए कि वो अपने कुरान के अंदर मेंशन करने वाली पॉलिसी की खुद मुखालफत नहीं कर सकता. अल्लाह के कुछ उसूल हैं जिनको हम सुन्नत इलाही कहते हैं, अस-सुनन इलाहिया. इमाम बाकर सदर की किताब है, अस-सुनन इलाहिया फित तारीख. आई विश माय यूथ एंड माय एल्डर्स गो थ्रू दिस ग्रेट मास्टरपीस ऑफ इस्लामिक ट्रेजर्स दैट इमाम बाकर सदर रहमतुल्लाह अलैह हैज रिटन, ऑल द डिवाइन फॉर्मूलास, As-sunan al-ilahiyya fi al-tariq. Allah has certain divine usool and formulas. And He's running the universe according to His principles that He Himself has set. And he never violates those principles and formulas. If you want to lead a successful life, you have to adjust yourself according to the divine sunnats and principles, and you would succeed. If you don't understand and don't adjust yourself, you are at the losing end. Allah is never going to bend on his principles, because Quran has already said, لَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will never find a change in the sunnat of Allah. For the sunnat of Allah.
So what we are required as a mu'min to learn the divine principles and practice and implement. So we find that he didn't have any answer. So now that he didn't have an answer, of course, when you don't have the logical evidences, when the logic ends, that's where the violence and the bullets begin. The goli to wo chalata hai jiske paas daleel khatam ho jaye. ठीक है ना, गोली वहां चलाई जाती है जहां दलीलें खत्म हो जाती हैं. इनोसेंट सिविलियंस को वहां जाके मारा जाता है कि जहां जाके लॉजिक और मंतकी दलीलें तो खत्म हो चुकी हैं पहले, वो तो मुकाबला कर ही नहीं सकते मंतकी दलील के साथ इस्लाम का. तो अब तो वाहिद तरीका है गोली का इस्तेमाल, ताकत का इस्तेमाल, क्योंकि दलील तो खत्म हो चुकी है. दलील जिसके पास है उसे गोली चलाने की क्या जरूरत है, उसके पास तो दलील मौजूद है. तो गोली तो चलाई वहां जाती है. आप देखें मौलाए कायनात तो हमेशा इस्लाह की बात करते हैं जंग से पहले. पैगंबर अकरम तो इस्लाह और नसीहत की बात करते हैं, नूरानियत फैला रहे हैं जंग से पहले. खून तो नहीं बहा रहे, आगाज तो नहीं कर रहे जंग का. तो मैं आपसे ऐसा कर रहा था कि नाउ वी फाइंड दैट अल्लाह सुबहानहू व तआला, वी आर डिस्कसिंग द कॉन्सेप्ट हाउ अ पर्सन बिकम्स अहलुल्लाह. When Allah says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, Allah chose Ibrahim to be a friend. Prophet Ibrahim is the only messenger of Allah among 124,000 prophets who was chosen to be the Khalil and friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is Shaykhul Anbiya, is the second most superior prophet of God after our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Prophet Ibrahim said to Allah, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyil mauta. He didn't want the people to be misguided. He already knew Allah is going to make things alive. Allah is the one who gives life and gives death. Prophet Ibrahim already knew that. He wanted the people to understand that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the life, so that they turn away from this taghut and they turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet Ibrahim said, O my Lord, show me how you make the things alive. Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyil mauta. How do you make the dead alive? And Prophet was commanded to take those four birds and, mince the meat, grind the meat. He put it on seven different mountains. This ground meat of four different birds, now placed by Prophet Ibrahim on four different mountains. And he's grabbing the heads of those four birds. And now he calls, of course with the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's calling the birds. And the birds are now, all the pieces, the ground meat is now combining from seven different mountains, getting together, gathering together, patching up, and after patching up, coming towards Prophet Ibrahim, each of those birds. He's trying to put a different head in front of a different bird. It doesn't match. The bird goes towards its own head. So Allah's hikmat is always supreme. Isn't it right? And then our Urafa have mentioned that those four birds that Prophet Ibrahim was slaughtered, had slaughtered, were the chicken, murgha, or crow, Kawwa, or Taus, means peacock. Peacock and crow, and also the fourth one I don't recall right now. So these four birds were called by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and our scholars say that this murgh, chicken, was alamat
And the fourth one was, a pigeon.
So our scholars say the pigeon, kabutar, pigeon is alamat of ulfat of this dunya. That's what we are discussing right now. So Allah is actually asking Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam to break away from the ulfat of this dunya. Slaughtering the pigeon is symbolizes by breaking your ties from the ulfat of this world. And chicken is the sign of shahwat and lust. And Allah is asking to break away from shahwat and lust. And crow is the sign of hirs and greed in this dunya. So Allah is asking His messenger to break away from the greed of this dunya. Some people are slaves of different types of spiritual and negative attributes. You know, some people are slaves of their lust, some are slaves of greed, some are slaves of money, some are slaves of sleeping, some are slaves of so many other different ways that are used by shaitan to deceive us into disobedience and ma'siyat of Allah through different ways adopted. So, the crow is the alamat of hirs, and taus and peacock is the alamat of zenith of this dunya, to break away from all these things. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said to him, ittakhadha Allah Ibrahima khalila. Allah said in the Quran that He chose Prophet Ibrahim to be khalil. And then we have several tafsir in the hadith of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. One of the aqwal says Prophet Ibrahim was already told by Jibreel alayhi salam that you will be chosen as a khalil and friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that fact that he was told by Jibreel, that is going to happen when Allah will make the dead alive through you. So that's the reason in one of the aqwal and one of the statements of the tafsir, that was the reason why Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah, Rabbi arini kaifa tuhyil mawta. Oh my Lord, show me how you're going to make the dead alive. That's one tafsir. So because he wanted to become the khalil of Allah, and Jibreel already told him, you are going to become khalil when Allah make the dead alive through you. The second tafsir says that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had seen, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had seen on the arsh, and he found towards the arsh that there was a noor. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is that noor? And he was told, this is the noor of my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Prophet Ibrahim said, I see another noor next to it. Allah told you, this is the noor of his wasi, in other words, Amirul Mumineen Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And Prophet Ibrahim asked, I see a third one close to them. And Allah told, this is the noor of Fatima, next to her father and husband. See, the akt and the marriage of Hazrat Fatima took place up there in the heavens, isn't that right? So, Allah mentioned to Prophet Ibrahim that she is called Fatima because she is the separator. She separates her lovers from the hellfire. So then Prophet Ibrahim said, I see two more noor close to them. And Allah told, this is the noor of Hassan and Hussein. And Prophet Ibrahim said, I see nine other anwar which are surrounding them, you know, around them. And Allah told, those are the imams from the nasl of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The madlis is coming to the end very soon. So Allah, then Prophet Ibrahim asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I see a lot of anwar and lights around those anwar. And Allah told, these are the noor of the Shias and the Muhibbeen and followers and lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So the anwar and the noor of the Muhibbeen and lovers of Imam Ali alayhi salam was surrounding the 14 infallibles. And when Prophet Ibrahim, the tafsir, one of the aqwal in the tafsir says that when Prophet Ibrahim saw these anwar of the Ahlul Bayt and the anwar of the muhibbin and lovers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that's where he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him among one of the Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Allah made him a Shia of Imam Ali. And the ayat of Quran says, "Wa inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim."
One of the aqwal in the tafsir says that this refers to the Imam Ali alayhi salam, that Prophet Ibrahim is one of the Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
And among the anwar, there was one noor which was standing. And that noor which was standing, which was the noor of Imam Al-Qa'im alayhi salam.
That noor was in this position of Qiyam, up there in the heaven. So, anybody who wants to support Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam cannot be a qa'id, cannot be sitting. If you want to be a supporter of Imam al-Qa'im, you have to be a qa'im as well. You need to learn what is the concept of qiyam in Islam, and you have to do qiyam in your life. If you are the one who want to sit and do nothing and stay idle, then we must understand that we have nothing to do with the Imam al-Qa'im. Because he is all about Qiyam. Inshallah, in one of my speeches, we will discuss about the Imam alayhi salam. And so Imam al-Qa'im's Noor was in the Qiyam position, even up there in the heavens. And Qiyam, and you know, it was Qiyam is a position which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam loved the prayers so much that when the enemies were trying to wage the war in Karbala on the 9th of Muharram, he asked Abul Fazl Abbas to go and seek the further time, by further time, because Allah knows, Anni uhibbu salata. Allah knows that I love prayers.
Imam Hussain al-Salam spent his whole life in prayers, isn't that right? But look at there's a difference, brothers and sisters, between praying and loving to pray. There's a huge difference between these two things. Imam Hussain alayhi salam is not just a regular musalli, a person who is praying. No, he's not a regular person. He's muqeemus salat. Ashhadu. We don't say in the ziyarat of Imam Hussain, ashhadu annaka sallaita. We never say that. You don't need to say that. There's no use to in saying that. It loses the whole value. I bear witness that you prayed. Everybody was praying. Even Yazid, la'natullah alayhi, was praying. He prayed a Friday prayers on a Wednesday because he was drunk. Prayers without the walayat. It will be wrapped up and thrown back at the faces. No wonder if it is thrown back on the faces of all those people who are praying the prayers without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. The walayat of Ahlul Bayt is the essence and ruh of entire Islam, including the prayers. So Imam Hussain al-Salam is not a regular person who is praying and praying regularly. We say, Ashhadu annaka qad aqamta salata. Main gawahi deta hoon ki aapne namaz ko qaim kiya. Ab rehti duniya tak jitne log namazein padh rahe hain, un sari namazon ka sawab Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salam ko ja raha hai. کیونکہ امام حسین نے صرف نماز پڑھی نہیں ہے بلکہ نماز کو قائم کیا ہے نسلوں میں اس دنیا میں رہتی دنیا تک نظریہ نماز کو برقرار کر کے استوار کر کے گئے ہیں معاشرے میں زمین و آسمان کا فرق ہے نماز پڑھنے میں نماز قائم کرنے میں اب یہ علی باب یہ بھی بات ایک سمجھنے کی ہے کہ قرآن میں اللہ تعالیٰ نے مومنوں سے یہ نہیں کہا کہ نماز پڑھو سلو یہ نہیں اللہ کہہ رہا قرآن میں مومنوں سے بھی اللہ نے یہی کہا اقیم الصلاۃ وآت الزکاۃ اقیم الصلاۃ مومنوں سے بھی یہی کہا گیا کہ نماز کو قائم کرو یعنی ہمیں بھی مولا امام حسین کی سنت و سیرت کے اوپر عمل کرنا ہے تو امام حسین علیہ السلام نے ایک رات کی مہلت چاہی ہے کس لیے کیونکہ اللہ جانتا ہے کہ مجھے نماز سے محبت ہے امام حسین کو نماز سے محبت تھی نماز محبوب ہے امام حسین کی معشوق و محبوب ہے کتنی محبت تھی نماز سے لہٰذا ہم دیکھتے ہیں کہ امام حسین کے خیمے میں کوئی ایک شخص بھی سویا نہیں شب عاشور کوئی ایک شخص بھی امام کے خیمے میں نہیں سویا سب کے سب نماز اور مناجات اور دعا کے اندر مصروف ہیں. کوئی ایک شخص بھی نہیں سویا. اور امام نے اپنے اصحاب کی کس انداز سے تعریف بھی کی, وَإِنِّي لَا أَرَى أَصْحَابًا أَوْفَى مِنْ أَصْحَابِي, میں اپنے اصحاب کی طرح کوئی اس سے زیادہ باوفا صحابی دیکھتا ہی نہیں. یعنی سب سے زیادہ باوفا صحابی اگر کسی کو ملے تو مجھے ملے. وَلَا أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ أَبَرَّ وَأَوْفَى مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي, نہ اپنے اہل بیت سے زیادہ نیکوکار اور نیک عمل کرنے والے اور وفادار اہل بیت کسی اور کے پاس ہیں. الفاظ دی گئے. تو معلوم ہوا کہ سب سے باوفا صحابی میرے مولا امام حسین کو نصیب ہوئے. اور کس انداز کے صحابی ہیں, امام چراغ گل کر رہے ہیں مگر چاہنے والے اپنے محبوب کو چھوڑ کے جانے کے لیے تیار نہیں ہیں. کتنی محبت ہے. یہ اسے کہا جاتا ہے محبت حسین, کہ جو عمل سے نظر آئے, انسان کا عمل گواہی دے کہ ہم اللہ امام حسین سے محبت کرتے ہیں. یعنی کہ زمانے کا امام ذبح ہو رہا ہے اور دو قدم کے فاصلے پہ بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں 24,000 لوگ جنہوں نے خط لکھے مسلم عقیل کو, دو قدم کے فاصلے پہ بیٹھے ہیں. جب حبیب ابن مظاہر گھوڑے پہ سوار ہو کے آ سکتے ہیں تو باقی 24,000 بھی آ سکتے تھے, دو قدم کے فاصلے پہ, مگر حسین ابن علی ذبح ہو رہے ہیں اور وہاں حسین کا نام لینے والے بیٹھے ہیں مگر حسین کی مدد کرنے والا کوئی نہیں بیٹھا. آپ نے تو ہم ایسے لوگوں کو محب اہل بیت ماننا توہین سمجھتے ہیں. نظریہ محبت اہل بیت کی توہین ہے کہ جس نظریہ جس زبانی لقلقہ لسان کے ساتھ ساتھ حسین ذبح ہو جائے یہ محبت نہیں کہلاتی, یہ دھوکہ ہے. محبت تو وہ ہے جو حبیب ابن مظاہر نے دکھائی, اسے کہا جاتا ہے محبت. محبت اسے کہتے ہیں کہ جو حبیب ابن مظاہر, مولا امام حسین کو کسی کی ضرورت نہیں تھی. بعض علماء نے نقل کیا کہ واحد شخص کہ جس کو میرے مولا نے خط لکھ کر بلایا, من الحسین ابن علی الى الرجل الفقیح, حسین ابن علی کے حسین فرزند علی کی طرف سے اس مرد کی جانب کے جو فقیح ہے, تفقہ فی الدین رکھتا ہے, گہرائی کے ساتھ دین کو سمجھتا ہے. جس بصیرت کا ہم تذکرہ کر رہے تھے آغاز شخن میں, فقہ عربی میں کہتے ہیں الفہم العمیق, گہرائی سے سمجھنا, یعنی دین کو گہرائی کے ساتھ سمجھتا ہے, فقیہ فی الدین ہے حبیب ابن مظاہر. جناب مظاہر کتنی محبت کرتے تھے پیغمبر اکرم سے. جناب مظاہر پیغمبر کی زیارت کو آئے تھے اور کس انداز سے اپنے بچے حبیب کو پالا. ہمارا سلام ہو جناب مظاہر پر, کس انداز سے حبیب کو پالا ہے. پیغمبر کی زیارت کو آئے ہیں اور پیغمبر نے دیکھا کہ امام حسین جا رہے ہیں اور حسین کے پیچھے پیچھے یہ بچہ حبیب پیچھے پیچھے چل رہا ہے حسین کے, اور حسین کے قدموں کی خاک اٹھا کے اپنے سر پہ ڈال رہا ہے. پیغمبر نے جب یہ منظر دیکھا تو آپ سے رہا نہیں گیا, بڑھ کے حبیب کے ساتھ اظہار محبت کرتے ہیں. معلوم ہوا کہ حبیب ابن مظاہر محبوب پیغمبر ہیں, پیغمبر کو محبت تھی حبیب ابن مظاہر سے. کیا شان ہے حبیب مظاہر کی. اور مولا نے احسان کیا ہے حبیب پر, مولا کو کسی کی ضرورت نہیں تھی, ہمیں ضرورت ہے اپنی سعادت کے لیے امام حسین کی ولایت سے متمسک ہونے کی. حسین کو ہماری ضرورت نہیں ہے, وہ غنی ابن غنی بے نیاز ہیں, اللہ کے اس میں الغنی و الصمد کے مظہر ہیں, انہیں کسی کی ضرورت نہیں ہے. حبیب پر احسان کر رہے ہیں مولا سید الشہداء, من الحسین ابن علی الى الرجل الفقیح, احسان ہو رہا ہے حبیب پہ. اور کیا لکھا آپ نے خط میں کہ حبیب ہم نرغہ اعلیٰ میں گر گئے. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, اور تم میری قرابت رسول اللہ کی نسبت جانتے ہو. جانتے ہیں نا, حبیب کو پتا ہے کہ امام حسین علیہ السلام کا کیا رتبہ, کیا شان ہے, کتنے مقرب ہیں پیغمبر کی نگاہ میں. اتنے مقرب ہیں کہ جب پیغمبر سجدے میں ہیں اور امام حسین جو طفولت کے دوران ہیں, بچے ہیں, اے پیغمبر کی سر کے پشت پہ آ جاتے ہیں, اور پیغمبر جب سر اٹھانے ہی والے تھے تو اللہ نے جبرائیل کو بھیجا کہ جب تک حسین خود سے نہ اتر آئے اس وقت تک آپ سر نہ اٹھائیے گا. چنانچہ پیغمبر نے 70 مرتبہ دہرایا سبحان ربی الاعلی وبحمدہ, سبحان ربی الاعلی وبحمدہ, یہاں تک کہ حسین خود سے اترے. اب یاد آئے نا کہ کتنی قرابت ہے پیغمبر کے ساتھ. کوئی لاؤ تو ایسی مثال کہ ایک رہتی دنیا تک شریعت کا حصہ بن گیا کہ تمام امتی سجدے میں 70 مرتبہ کہہ سکتے ہیں اس ذکر کو. یہ حسین ابن علی کی تعظیم ہے. کتنا کتنی قرابت ہے رسول سے. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. جب عید کا موقع آیا اور حسن و حسین کو اپنے کاندھے پہ بٹھایا اور اب جب کہنے والے نے کہا کہ کتنی پیاری سواری ہے تو پیغمبر کیا کہتے ہیں, یہ بھی تو کہو کہ سوار کتنے اچھے ہیں. مفہوم ہے. چنانچہ معلوم ہوا کہ کتنی قرابت ہے امام حسین کے ساتھ. چنانچہ اب تم ہماری قرابت رسول اللہ کی نسبت جانتے ہو, اگر آ سکتے ہو تو آ جاؤ. حبیب کو جب خط ملتا ہے اب گھر کے اندر آتے ہیں, آئے ہیں. اب وہ مومنہ ان کی زوجہ پوچھتی ہیں کہ کس کا خط ہے, تو حبیب کہتے ہیں کہ میرے مولا امام حسین کا خط آیا ہے. امام حسین نے کیا لکھا ہے خط میں؟ امام حسین نے لکھا ہے کہ حبیب ہم نرغہ آدھا میں گھر گئے ہیں, وہ تم ہماری قرابت رسول اللہ کی نسبت جانتے ہو, اگر آ سکتے ہو تو آ جاؤ. تو زوجہ کہتی ہے کہ پھر کیا سوچا ہے؟ تو حبیب کہتے ہیں میں سوچتا ہوں تمہارے بارے میں کہ اگر میں چلا گیا تو تمہارا کیا ہوگا. یہ سننا تھا. تو وہ مومنہ کہتی ہے ارے تمہیں میری پرواہ ہے اور فاطمہ کے لال کی پرواہ نہیں. بعض روایتوں میں ہے کہ اس مومنہ نے چادر اٹھا کے حبیب کی طرف پھینکی, اگر تم حسین کی مدد کے لیے نہ گئے تو میں خود اپنے مولا کی خدمت میں پہنچ جاؤں گی قربانی پیش کرنے کے لیے. اس مومنہ نے یہ کہا. حبیب کہتے ہیں ارے میں تو تیرا امتحان لے رہا تھا, ورنہ یہ کیسے ممکن ہے کہ میرے مولا مجھے دعوت دے اور میں مولا کی حضور میں نہ پہنچوں, یہ تو ممکن ہی نہیں ہے. چنانچہ غلام کو روانہ کر دیا فلا مقام پر کوفے سے باہر, اپنا گھوڑا لے کے وہاں انتظار کرنا. اب جو بعض روایتوں میں نقل ہوا کہ حبیب کے پہنچنے میں تھوڑی سی تاخیر ہوئی, اب جو تھوڑی تاخیر ہوئی تو پہنچتے ہیں تو دیکھا غلام اس گھوڑے کے ساتھ گفتگو کر رہا ہے. اگر میرے آقا کے پہنچنے میں تاخیر ہوئی تو گھبرانا نہیں, میں خود سوار ہو کے جاؤں گا امام حسین پہ جان قربان کرنے کے لیے. ایک مرتبہ جب حبیب نے یہ گفتگو سنی تو تڑپ گئے حبیب, تڑپ گئے. اب کہتے ہیں ایک مرتبہ مولا امام حسین کے سے مخاطب کر کے ان کو ان سے طرف متوجہ ہو کے کہتے ہیں مولا کتنے مظلوم ہیں آپ کہ آپ کے اوپر غلام بھی جان قربان کرنے کو تیار ہے. اور غلام سے کہا جا میں نے تجھے راہ خدا میں آزاد کیا. غلام کہتا ہے یہ تو انصاف نہیں ہوا, یہ تو انصاف کی بات نہیں ہے, کیونکہ جب تک میں آپ کی خدمت میں رہا تو آپ نے رکھا, اور جب آپ مولا کی خدمت میں جا رہے ہیں تو آپ نے مجھے آزاد کر دیا. ارے میں بھی جاؤں گا اور اپنے مولا کی خدمت میں جان قربان کروں گا. یہ سنا حبیب نے غلام کو بھی ہمراہ لیا. اب جو لیا اب جو حبیب نے اس کے بعد جب روانہ ہوتے ہیں کربلا کی طرف تو ادھر امام حسین رایات تقسیم کر رہے ہیں, پرچم بانٹ رہے ہیں, مختلف لوگوں کو اپنا اپنا علم دے دیا گیا. یہاں تک کہ ایک علم ایسا تھا ارباب مقاتل نے لکھا جسے ایران نے کسی کو نہیں سونپا. اب جو پوچھنے والے نے پوچھا کہ مولا اس علم کو آپ نے کسی کو نہیں دیا, تو امام نے کہا اس کا جو حقدار ہے وہ بھی پہنچنے والا ہے. اور تھوڑی دیر گزری کہ اب کوفے کی جانب سے گرد و غبار نمایاں ہوا. اب بڑھ کے اب حبیب کا استقبال ہو رہا ہے. چنانچہ شہزادی زینب نے فضا کو بھیجا. ظاہر ہے نا شہزادی کو تو اب تک یہی خبریں ملی تھی. اب عمر اپنے ساتھ کا لشکر آ پہنچا, اب فلاں لشکر آ گیا. اب جو شہزادی نے فضا کو بھیجا, فضا آ کے کہتی ہے ارے مولا کے بچپن کا جانسار حبیب آئے ہیں. شہزادی نے کہا جا کے حبیب کو میرا سلام کہنا. شہزادی نے اپنا سلام کہلوایا. روایت میں عجیب فقرہ ملتا ہے کہ جب امام جناب حبیب نے یہ سنا تو ایک مرتبہ خاک کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے, ایک مرتبہ زمین کربلا پہ بیٹھ گئے, اور بیٹھنے کے بعد اس خاک کو اٹھا کے اپنے سر پہ ڈالنا شروع کیا. ارے کیا زمانہ آ گیا کہ اب شہزادیاں اب غلاموں کو سلام کہلا رہی ہیں.
ولا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ilahi bihaqq al-Zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha. Par ilaha parchame islam ko sar bulan farma. Parchame kufru shirk wa nifaq ko sar nigun farma. Inqilab islami ki hifazat farma. تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار ہے تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما ہماری اس قلیل عبادت کو قبول فرما ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا تب زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیامین یا حسین